When you realize that God is good, that his bounty is everlasting, we can't keep it inside. It's like a jack-in-the-box that wants to come out in every occasion. And so the first commandment in Psalms 100 is shout to joy for the Lord. The second commandment is serve the Lord with struggling. No, serve the Lord with gladness. It doesn't say serve the church. It doesn't say serve the pastor or the leaders or an organization. All that you do, do according to the will of God. Serve the living God. The Bible teaches us that if we witness on behalf of the Lord, if we feed the hungry, if we clothe the naked, if we do the work of the Lord, whatever we might be doing, we are serving the Most High. In Matthew 25:40, it says, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these brethren, you have done it unto me. So the second command is serve the Lord. We're to shout for joy with joy to the Lord for all the earth. We're to serve the Lord with gladness. Third, we're to come before him with joyful psalms. Psalms 98 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Now, some people can sing. Scott can sing. I can make a noise. And I know that. That's why they got me over here, and they're over there. Don't listen over here. You'll get off tune. Make a joyful noise. Have you noticed the first three commandments? It says, I want you to be happy. I want you to shout with joy. I want you to serve with gladness and come with joyful songs. Who says being a Christian isn't fun? God has fun. Number four, it says, know that the Lord is God, that he made us and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. I'm going to bust a bubble tonight. Saints, you didn't save yourself. Only God saves us. I have a personal peeve, and I'm going to step on some toes. I have a personal peeve. People talk about how many people they've saved. Well, they ain't saved Jack. God saved everybody I know that's a Christian. They might have been the Johnny Appleseed and planted the seed, or somebody came along and they might have watered the seed that was already planted. They might have even been there at harvest time, but I got news for you. There's only one Savior. And I don't care whether, and I do, I mean, I love the man Billy Graham. He's done more for the world than anyone. And there have been thousands that have come to know the Lord through his ministry. I agree with that, that he didn't save a single person. The Holy Spirit, Jesus, saved every one of them. Know that the Lord, he is good. God, if we think about this, I read an article. Just in the Milky Way, which is where the earth is. If we're on one side of the east side of the Milky Way and we want to go to the west, it takes like 100,000 years. I mean, it's just long, it's a long time. And the Milky Way is only one galaxy system in the whole universe. There are hundreds of galaxy systems. But to our knowledge so far, we're unique. And that we're the only one that we know of that supports life. And in all the world that we're in, whether they're mammals bigger than us or whether they're microscopic beings that you got to have an electronic microscope to see, whatever the range of life is, which some we're still discovering, we're the only being whom God has said, I want to have fellowship with you. And he created us, and he took his time, and he put muscle to bone, and he put skin over it, and he gave us brains to think with, and eyes to see, and hands to feel. And his desire was nothing but to have fellowship. And we're made in his image to have fellowship with him. And because he didn't want a bunch of autotrons running around, probably the only mistake God ever made, he gave us independent rule of decision. And even that, he knew what he was going to do. He knew we'd blow it. But he made us unique unto himself, that we might call upon him, that we might walk in the cool of the evening as Adam did, and commune with him. And he's not finished with us. This is where it gets better. It's gooder and gooder. It gets better here. He's not finished. We didn't blow it and he left us alone. He sent his son to redeem, to pay the price for us, to redeem us. But not only that, and I won't ask you to raise your head, but a few of you in here every now and then have a bad attitude. You say a bad word, a dirty word or whatever. But guess what? God works with us through our sanctification process, through our lifetime, to bring us into the maturing saints that he wants us to be. Oh, he would have us be at a choose to give up. And they've gone through sanctification and they understood the power of the risen God. God is our maker and he created us in his image. For no other reason we should give him thanks and give glory to him. Then the word says there that he's also our shepherd. He knows where the green pastures are. Saints of God, there's some of us that have prayed and didn't get our prayer answered the way we want. But you know, I think of Joseph. He understood, he didn't have Jesus, but he understood the deity. He understood God. When his brothers threw him down in that ditch and sold him into slavery, could he look 30 years in advance and see that he would be the savior of the children of Israel? That he would cause them to have food? See, sometimes what happens bad to us in the long run is for our good and for the good of others. And so when we're going through struggles, we got to quit looking at it minute by minute. This is all there is and there is no more. Because when we're going through struggles, there is a daylight coming. There's a daybreak coming. There's a new hope coming. God will rescue us and God will take that which was really bad in our life and make it beautiful to someone else. He's a great chess player. Therefore, he should be the source of all our thanksgiving. And I praise God that he doesn't treat us like we treat him. When he calls us into service and we say we're too tired, the next day he doesn't tell us, I'm too tired to answer your prayer. I'm too tired to listen to your whining. I praise God that he does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities, according to Psalms 103. So in conclusion, I just pray this, that we have a meaningful Thanksgiving season, but that you pause tomorrow, either, and preferably, in my opinion, before you stuff yourself with turkeys. Because once you stuff yourself, if you pause, you're going to go to sleep. But you pause with those gathered around you and give thanks for the great things that God has done. Yeah, there's trials. There's home break-ins. There's diseases. There's sicknesses. There's wrecks. There are things that we can't understand. Why God seems to say no, or at least not now, but maybe later. We don't have the answers to. But I know this, that tomorrow when we gather with our families, we need to pause long enough to give thanks for the great things that he has done. For God is merciful, We need to heed his commands. And I pray to tomorrow and all the thanksgivings in the future that your heart will overflow in thanksgiving to the Lord who has called you to be his son, to be his daughter. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.